ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 Canto 5, Chapter 18, entitled The Residence of Jambudvipa, Offer Prayers, and verse number 8.
Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya.
Word to a translation. Om.
Om.
O Lord.
O Lord.
Namaha.
Namaha.
My respectful obeisances.
My respectful obeisances.
Bhagavate.
Bhagavate.
Under the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Under the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Narasimhaya.
Narasimhaya.
Known as Lord Narasimha.
Known as Lord Narasimha.
Namaha.
Namaha.
Obeisances.
Obeisances.
Tejah
Tejase.
Power of all power.
The power of all power.
Avir Avirbhava.
Avirbhava.
Please be fully manifest.
Please be fully manifest.
Vajranakha.
Vajranakha.
O you who possess nail like thunderbolt.
O you who possess nail like thunderbolts.
Vajradam Damstra.
Vajradamstra.
O you who possess teeth like thunderbolts.
O you who possess teeth like thunderbolts.
Karmasyan.
Karmasyan.
Demoniac desires to be happy by material activities.
Demoniac desires to be happy by material activities.
Randhe randhaya.
Randhe randhaya.
Kindly vanquish.
Kindly vanquish.
Tamaha.
Tamaha.
Ignorance in the material world.
Ignorance in the material world.
Grasa.
Grasa.
Kindly drive away.
Kindly drive away.
Grasa.
Grasa.
Kindly drive away.
Kindly drive away.
Om.
Swaha.
Respectful oblations.
Respectful oblations.
Abhayam.
Abhayam.
Fearlessness.
Fearlessness.
Abhayam.
Abhayam.
Fearlessness.
Fearlessness.
Atmani.
Atmani.
In my mind.
In my mind.
Bhuyishtha.
Bhuyishtha.
May you appear.
May you appear.
Om.
Om.
O Lord.
O Lord.
Shraum.
Shraum.
The bija or seed.
The bija or seed.
Of mantras offering prayers to Lord Narasimha.
Of mantras offering prayers to Lord Narasimha.
Translation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Narasimha Dev, the source of all power. O my Lord, who possesses nails and teeth just like thunderbolts, kindly vanquish our demon-like desires for fruitive activity in this material world. Please appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance, so that by your mercy, we may become fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world. Very, very, very important verse. Purport by His Reverend Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
In Srimad Bhagavatam 4:22-39. In Srimad Bhagavatam 4:22-39, Sanat Kumara speaks the following words to Maharaj Prithu. Yatpadapam gajapalasa vilasa bhaktya karmashayam gradhitamudgradhayanti santa tadvan nariktamadayo yadayo viruddha saudaganastamaranam bhajavasudevam. Devotee is always engaged in the service of the toes of the Lord's feet, can very easily become free from heart knotted desires for fruitive activities, because it is very difficult. The non-devotees, the jnanis and yogis, cannot stop the ways of sense gratification, although they try to do so. Therefore, you are advised to engage in the devotional service of Krishna, the son of Vasudeva. Every living being within this material world has a strong desire to enjoy matter to his fullest satisfaction. For this purpose, the conditioned soul must accept one body after another, and thus his strongly fixed fruitive desires continue. One cannot stop the repetition of birth and death without being completely desireless. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami describes pure bhakti devotional service as follows. Anyaplashita shunyam jnana karmatyana vrutam anukutena krishnanu shilanam bhaktiruttama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. Unless one is completely free of all material desires which are caused by the dense darkness of ignorance, one cannot fully engage in the devotional service of the Lord. Therefore, we should always offer our prayers to Lord Narasimhadev, who killed Hiranyakashipu, the personification of material desire. Hiranya means gold, and Kashipu means a soft cushion or bed. Materialistic persons always desire to make the body comfortable, and for this they require huge amount of gold. Thus, Hiranyakashipu was the perfect representative of materialistic life. He was therefore the cause of a great disturbance to the topmost devotee Prahlad Maharaj until Lord Narasimhadev killed him. Any devotee aspiring to be free of material desire should offer his respectful prayers to Narasimhadev as Prahlad Maharaj did in this verse. So it's a very important verse and purport. The last line of this purport is a conclusion. Any devotee aspiring to be free of material desires should offer his respectful prayers to Narasimhadev as Prahlad Maharaj did in this verse. So the translation I will go through one more time. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Narasimhadev, the source of all power. O my Lord, who possesses nails and teeth just like thunderbolts, kindly vanquish our demon-like desires for fruitive activity in this material world. Please appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance, so that by your mercy we may become fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world. Om Jnana Tindrantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Patakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatha Nitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsya He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpadarubhyasya Kribasindhubhyeva Chita Paditanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Bhute Samadhi Yeri Mahapuro Vibhu Nirmaya Shete Yadamusha Purusha Bhunte Gunan Shodasha Shodasha Atmaka Sora Krishishta Bhagavan Vachansine Hare Krishna. So here we are in the Jambadvip, and in Jambadvip, in these verses, we are going through the prime devotees in each Varshas. And we are in Hari Varsha, in the previous verse, glorified Sri Prahlad Maharaj. And here, as it is mentioned in the previous verse, the prayer offered by Prahlad Maharaj is given unto Lord Narasimhadev. So it's a very wonderful prayer, and in this prayer let me first focus on one aspect. The prayer is for clearing the material desires and giving us fearlessness in the struggle for material existence. So first point that we need to understand: material desires and fear are synonymous. If there are material desires, there has to be fear. We cannot separate one from the other. Previously, we mentioned this point that material enjoyment means suffering. If there is a desire for material enjoyment, immediately we have to see suffering in it. Adhyantavanta Kaunteya Nateshu Ramate Buddhaha. So definitely the material enjoyment has a beginning and end, and it means suffering. It is just waiting, that's all. Similarly, if we see material desires, we have to see fear, stress, anxiety, depression, and so on and so forth. So everything can be termed as fear. It has to be there. It must be there. And there is no way out. Indeed, Srimad Bhagavatam speaks in the 11th canto, Bhayam dvitiya abhinivesha ishadapayatasya viparya smriti. Very clearly mentioned in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that the second nature of material existence is fear. What is the nature of spiritual existence? Love. So the opposite of love is actually fear. So the nature of material existence is fear. And that's why we see a lot of fear in this material world. And one cannot get out of it. And why there is fear in this material world? Because we are eternal. And so we want everything permanently. So we are permanent and we want everything permanently, and it doesn't work here because it's a temporary world. So we are trying to get something which is permanent in the temporary world, and as a result of that, the emotional response for that is called fear. Right? Whatever we think is permanent, it is going to be taken away from us. Then we experience fear. So that's the way it is. And we cannot replace it with anything else. So if there is material desires, there has to be fear. And what can we do? If there is no wealth, there is fear, isn't it? How one is going to survive? And if there is a lot of wealth, then there is fear, because somebody is going to steal it. So materialistic existence is such that in any condition, there is fear. There is no wealth, there is all wealth, or in between, still there is fear. So what can we do? So this material desire is there, then there has to be fear. So a devotee has to be very careful in seeing this world. How a devotee should see? When a devotee sees material success in one's own life or other's life, even Karmi's life, if we see material success, we have to see that there is fear, there is stress, there is anxiety, there is depression, there are all different kinds of problems. One shouldn't just see the glamour of success and one shouldn't think that, okay, had I been in that position, life would have been better. Subconsciously, that thought can come to one's mind. That's why when Srila Prabhupada gave sannyas to his initial disciples, Prabhupada told, when you visit a house of a grihastha, the grihastha may have all the opulences. He may have nice couch to sit, opulent prasadam, many bedrooms, maybe television, many things, big screen. So when you see them, never think like this. He's enjoying, and if I also had all these things, then I could have enjoyed the life. So Prabhupada was giving the instructions to the initial sannyasis. Don't think like this. Straining the mind. Similarly, this is not for the initial sannyasis because they were new. That's why Prabhupada was training in that way. It is applicable for all of us. If we see material opulence, if we see material success, don't get blinded. Rather see suffering in it. Rather see fear in it. And be grateful of our own position of able to perform devotional service. Experience that mercy of Krishna. Feel that gratitude. We have devotional service in our hand. A job in which there is no firing, only hiring. All other jobs, there is hiring and firing. Here there is no firing. It is only up to you. If you want to leave, that is your choice. You can stop performing devotional service, but your connection to Krishna can never be severed. Like one devotee told Prabhupada that, I want to resign from this movement. I want to go away. Prabhupada said, how can you resign from devotional service? That's your eternal constitutional position. This is the reality. We cannot resign from this. Always there is devotional service. So that is our fortunate position. However, when we deal with this world, we have to deal with a lot of things. Especially the world is living outside. Job, that will give fear, right? Always job is an anxiety. Job or business, doesn't matter. There is anxiety. Mortgage, another source of anxiety, right? Investments, greater source of anxiety, because whatever you have earned for many, many years, one has invested, and what's going to happen? So there is anxiety. More than that, children's future, think about that. It's a big anxiety, right? Children's future is a big anxiety. One's own health, one's own relation, you name it. If you're surrounded by all these kind of things, naturally there will be stress and anxiety and fear. And when we are surrounded by all these things, and then we pick up our beat bag and start chanting, what will come to our mind? All these things will come to our mind. So that is the reality, because that is our absorption. So whatever is our absorption is going to be reflected in our chanting. It's a very important point to consider. That's right. One question was asked to Shivaram Maharaj. How can I have absorbed 2 hours of chanting? So Maharaj told that it depends on what you do rest 22 hours. If 22 hours one is absorbed in material thoughts, it is very difficult to switch off from that and unplug and come to these 2 hours. So that's why we were hearing that quote from Sachinandan Maharaj. You must work outside of your chanting of your 16 rounds for your chanting of 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Can you see the connection? Wherever is the absorption, that is going to be reflected in our chanting. They go hand in hand. Our 22 hours are dependent on these 2 hours, of course. And these 2 hours are dependent on the 22 hours. And that's why devotees have to be very careful. The one mechanism for switching off or unplugging is, if one is totally materially absorbed, if there are a lot of stress and anxiety and fear because of the very nature of this world, one think that, okay, these 2 hours, this is for my relief. This is my relief mechanism. So let me forget everything and let me be absorbed in Krishna. So one can see, this is my solace. So let me focus on this. Unfortunately, materialistic people don't have this. For them, fear increases and increases. And if it has to be a stoppage, what is that? That is intoxication. That's why it's an essential aspect of life. Even during the lockdown, one of the essential services is alcohol. Essential service. All the shops have to be open, because otherwise people don't know how to deal with fear. So one, fear is in the mode of ignorance, and give a more powerful ignorance, that is intoxication. So already working on the platform of passion and ignorance, and from there go dive deep into ignorance, so one cannot experience that particular fear. That's all. So this is material existence. Everywhere there is fear. And scientists have coined this term, loss aversion. Interesting term. That according to human psyche, one doesn't want to experience loss. Even in economics, one finds it very difficult to face with loss. So it is okay to lose an opportunity to gain $10. It is better than losing even 10 cents. Can you? So one will try to protect that 10 cents even if one loses the opportunity to make another $10. So that's how it works. That's the human psychology. So that is called loss aversion. One doesn't want to see that I am a loser. That's how the material existence is. And because of this fear, what happens? There is an inherent dissatisfaction. To be dissatisfied, one doesn't have to do anything. What is the nature of this world is dissatisfaction. That is the nature of mode of passion. Mode of passion is dissatisfaction. One doesn't have to do anything. One will be dissatisfied. Whatever one has, still one will be dissatisfied. And that's the reason we have to be very careful when we deal with material desires. Material desires are not innocent, and that can create a lot of trouble. His Holiness Japata Goswami Maharaj gave an example to explain material desires in bhakti. Because as devotees, we are trying to practice devotional service, but at the same time, we may have or we have material desires. So he gave the example of mixing sand in sweet rice. It's a very good example. Mixing sand in sweet rice. We want to enjoy sweet rice, but we are chewing the rice, suddenly, oh, my teeth is paining because of the sand. So this is how material desires, that can be an impediment in our practice of bhakti. It can even derail our bhakti. It will not allow us to go deeper in bhakti. So many problems with material desires. That's why it is mentioned here, Anya Pilashita Shunyam verse, how the devotional service has to be devoid of fruity activities and mental speculation. Otherwise, it will not give us the result. It is applicable in all aspects of devotional service, starting from chanting, in doing service, in preaching, Wherever there is material desires, we cannot relish that activity. And in turn, fear will pop up in our hearts. In this verse is spoken by Prahlad Maharaj. And so, we'll try to understand the mood of Prahlad Maharaj and the glories of Prahlad Maharaj to start with. He's an emblem of pure devotional service. He is very unique in Srimad Bhagavatam because when he was being tormented by Hiranyakashipu, he didn't have any company. He was alone dealing with his problems. He didn't have any support as such externally. He couldn't call his guru. He didn't have any devotee association. He had to depend on the Lord directly. Of course, by the mercy of a spiritual master. Still, he didn't feel lonely. Big thing, right? I am by myself. No help. He didn't feel like that. It's very unique, even though he was just 5 years old. And he didn't have anyone to blame. He didn't blame anyone. Oh, I am going through the suffering because of such and such person. Or because of such and such devotee. He didn't have anyone to blame for, or he didn't blame anyone. At the same time, he was very grateful of his position. And he prayed to the Supreme Lord. The Bhagavad says, naturally he was a devotee. When he came out from the womb of his mother, Kayathu, he was a great devotee. He was completely absorbed in Krishna. And that's why he himself says that, Yadha bhramit yado bhraman, swayam akrishta sannidho, tathame vidhyate cheta chakrapanir yadrichaya. So he mentions that just like a piece of iron is naturally being attracted to the magnet, in the same way, I am naturally attracted to Chakravani. Who is Chakravani? The Supreme Lord who carries Chakra, the disc. This is his position. And later he mentioned he manifests all the ecstatic symptoms. Sometimes in great anxiety, he calls out for the Lord. And sometimes in jubilation, he chants his holy names and starts dancing. So these were his ecstatic symptoms. And it is mentioned that seeing his perfect ecstasy, non-devotees were getting purified in his presence. So we can see he was preaching to his schoolmates in Gurukul, Asturik Gurukul. But when he was showing all these ecstatic symptoms, everyone was getting purified because of his pure love for the Lord. So these are the qualities of Prahlad Maharaj, not after seeing Narasimhadev, even before that. In Bhagavatamrita, Narada Muni progressively reveals the greatness of the devotees. And in that, it's very interesting that when Narada Muni approaches Lord Brahma, Brahma says, I am not qualified. I am not such a great devotee. He says, look, I am a demigod. I am in one sense the greatest person in this universe. But we demigods have a problem. Because we think we are the controllers and enjoyers. Even though we know that there is Supreme Lord, we think that we are the controllers and enjoyers. So we are in trouble sometimes. You know, look at Indra. He had a bad experience because he tried to kill all the residents of Vrindavan. It's a bad mark in the CV. Now, what can he do? He cannot do anything. He thought he is the controller, he is the enjoyer. And as far as I am concerned, I tried to test Krishna and I tried to steal Krishna's cows, calves and cowherd boys. In that way, if someone says, checks, the probity check if they do, there is a problem. There is some problem in the character because he tried to test Krishna. and miserably failed. I was very fortunate because I could go to Vrindavan and I could see the beautiful form of Krishna. So as Brahma's prayer, the first verse he says, Navidyate abhavapushe tadidambaraya gujjavatam saparivichala sanmukhaya vanyasraje kavalavetra vishana vedu lakshma shriye mridupate pashupangajaya. He says, okay, I could see this beautiful form of the Lord. And he glorifies. He is the most worshipable Lord. Tadidambaraya, and he has a bluish complexion and his dhoti is like lightning. Tadit. Gunjavatam, and his earrings are made of gunja berries. Saparipichalasan mukhaya, and his head is decorated with peacock feather. And he has flute, he has cowherding stick, he has his bugles, and in his left hand he has some yoga trays. Not only yoga trays, he has pickles as well. He likes pickles. Krishna likes pickles. Okay. So he can offer pickles to Krishna, no problem. And different fruit pickles like gooseberry, mango, lemon. We can offer pickles to Krishna. So Krishna is having yoga tries with pickles and he is having a good time. And then he comes to the point, Mrudupade Pashupangajaya. And he is the son of Nanda Maharaj and his feet is very, very soft. And in that way, Brahma said, look, I glorified the Lord. I prayed to the Lord. But I couldn't stay in Vrindavan. Look at my consciousness. I met Krishna. I went to Vrindavan. But I couldn't stay in Vrindavan. It's like if you go to Golok Vrindavan. If you go see Golok Vrindavan and come back to the material world. It's not really good. Brahma says that is my position. I went. I saw Krishna in Vrindavan. I was in Vrindavan. But I am now back to my own position. What is my situation? I am not such a great devotee. Then he refers to the next one. He said, Vaishnavana Yadha Shambhu. So go to Lord Shiva, he is a great devotee. So Narada Muni goes to Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva is greater, Brahma says. You must go to Lord Shiva. The reason is, the Lord has a very wonderful relationship with Lord Shiva. First, he is a great devotee. He can give liberation by the mercy of the Lord. He can not just give liberation, he can also give pure devotional service because he is a pure devotee. He can give pure devotional service. So that is great of Lord Shiva and Mother Parvati. Lord very intimately interacts with Lord Shiva. He gave the example. There was an issue with Vrika, you know that, right? Bhasmasura. So Lord Shiva gave him the boon and now Vrika is in control. He wanted to kill Lord Shiva himself, right, by touching his head. He said, the Lord personally came and saved, rescued Lord Shiva. Whenever Shiva is in trouble, Lord is happy to come and rescue him. See the intimate relationship between Lord Vishnu and Lord Shiva. In that way, Lord Brahma says he is more intimate. Even the Tripura demon, he also tried to create trouble, right? Even Banasu tried to create trouble. All the time, Lord protected Lord Shiva. And not only that, to glorify Lord Shiva, Lord Ramachandra used his bow and arrow. His bow he was used. So it is mentioned, he was touched. The Lord touched Lord Shiva's bow. In that way, he glorified Lord Shiva, and in many incarnations, the Lord is even happy to accept boons from Lord Shiva. So in that way, Lord Shiva is greater, very intimate with the Lord. But Brahma said, look, my condition, I went to Vrindavan, but I am still here in the post of Brahma. That's why Brahma says in Brahma's prayers, you know, Aho Bhagyam, Aho Bhagyam, Nanda Gopa Rajogasam. Yet, Mitram Paramanandam Purnam Brahma Sanatanam. Oh, see the glories of the residents of Vrindavan. Krishna is the friend. Purna Brahma, he is the complete Brahma. He is the friend of Nandagopa and other residents of Vrindavan. See their fortune, but I am not that fortunate. But Lord Shiva, superior. He is Vaishnavana Yadashambhu. Not only he goes to Lord Shiva and starts glorifying him. Lord Shiva became embarrassed. He said, stop this. Narada Muni starts speaking about how the Lord reciprocates with Lord Shiva. Then Lord Shiva says, please stop this. I am ashamed to hear that I am bestowing boon unto the Supreme Lord. Please stop this, he says. I am not that great devotee. The residents of Vaikuntha are superior. Because they are always with the Lord. And they don't even want to come to this material world. I am coming to this material world. I have my own tattva. I have my kailas. So many things are there. But the residents of Vaikuntha, they are always with the Lord and they are completely engaged in pure devotional service. So you can go to Vaikuntha. Narada Muni was ready to go to Vaikuntha. Then Narada Muni says, don't go to Vaikuntha at this point. Because a very special devotee is there on the earth planet. Not earth. He was at that point, he was in Sutala. So you go to Sutala and you meet Prahlad Maharaj. He is a very, very special devotee. So Lord Shiva recommends Prahlad Maharaj. So that is significance. You can see Prahlad Maharaj is one of the topmost devotees. And it is mentioned that he is greater than many, many other devotees. Even though it's mentioned that even he is greater than even Garuda, even he is greater than Mother Lakshmi Devi. So Lord Shiva says, you go and meet Prahlad Maharaj. Now there's an important lesson here. Even Lord Narasimha Dev himself glorifies Prahlad Maharaj. In the 10th chapter, he says, Bhavanti Purusha Loge Bhakta Stu Anu Vrataha Bhavanme Khalu Bhaktana Sarvesha Pratirupadhak. It's a very important point. This is a very important point to be noted about Prahlad Maharaj. Those, Lord Narasimha Dev is telling, those who follow your example will naturally become my pure devotees. You are the best example of my devotee. Who is telling? Prahlad Maharaj. Narasimha Dev is telling. That's a Pratirupadhrik. Sarvesha Pratirupadhrik. Of all the devotees, you are the best example and others should follow in your footsteps. So that actually signifies this prayer here. Now we can understand the meaning of the last sentence of Srila Prabhupada's purport. Any devotee aspiring to be free of material desires should offer his respectful prayers to Narasimha as Prahlad Maharaj did in this verse. So to pray to the Supreme Lord, it takes a lot of sincerity. If you want to sincerely go in front of the Lord and pray, kindly remove all these material desires. We have to be prepared for that. We shouldn't think, yeah, please remove all the material desires, but keep 1, 2 and 3. Don't pray like that. But it takes a lot of courage to go and pray to the Supreme Lord in this way. I don't want to tell some stories of these prayers. It can be discouraging, but I will give you one. Amazing, actually. Very strong. I will tell us two-sided. One is a bit intense. One family went to Vrindavan and they very, very sincerely prayed to the Supreme Lord. Remove our material desires and in turn take us back home, back to Godhead. Whatever it takes, please remove all the material desires. So they went back to their country. And their daughter went for swimming. And she wasn't a devotee. Of course, she was brought up as a devotee. And then she went on her Maya trip. And some jumping or diving or she did. And partially, she got paralyzed. Nothing happened. She didn't die. It was not that bad. She got partially paralyzed. She can speak. She has good memory. Everything is okay. But the body is paralyzed now. And then, she became a devotee. When she went through that, she became a devotee, and she became actually a very advanced devotee. She was not lamenting. She was telling, by the Lord's mercy, my body got paralyzed, and because of that, I am not thinking about Krishna. I don't have any other desires. I simply want to chant and I simply want to glorify the Lord. If she was paralyzed, she was bedridden. But her consciousness completely got transformed. So she was not suffering, but internally she was blissful. And then the parents, they were looking after her. And they also became advanced devotees. Can you understand? So the Lord can do anything to purify us. That is on one side. But on the other side, we know Narasimhadev in Mayapur. He is helping all the devotees. He is protecting all the devotees. Right? When devotees have any problem, the Lord is mercifully looking after the devotees. So that's why Janadevas Prabhu and Pangajani Prabhu, they mentioned that the Lord Narasimhadev in Mayapur is in the mood of Audarya. Very merciful, very magnanimous mood, because the presiding deity there is Panchatattva, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the mood of giving. So when we worship the Lord in that mood, even Narasimhadev, there is no problem. The Lord will protect. There is no doubt about it. The Lord will protect our devotion. But it takes sincerity to approach the Lord and pray to the Lord. Kindly purify me. So one can at least pray, these are the anarthas I am dealing with, kindly remove them so that I can go deeper in my bhakti. So one has to be prepared for that. How long can we drag on that vacation? Again and again we are dealing with the same material desires. So we like to approach the Lord and tell Him, please help me. That is the mood of this prayer. Please help me to remove all the material desires. Then naturally one will come to the platform of fearlessness. The Prahlad is exemplifying that. He is already pure, still he is praying. We will hear that. Narada Muni says an interesting point. Even Bali Maharaj got the audience of the Lord, and he went to Sutala, and the Lord Vamanadeva became his doorkeeper. Narada Muni says, it is not because of the qualification of Bali Maharaj, but it is because of his association with you, O Prahlad Maharaj. So because of that, the Lord became merciful, because Bali is his grandson. And so Narada Muni gives credit to Prahlad Maharaj. So that is the greatness of Prahlad Maharaj, and he is constantly worshipping the Lord here in Harivamsha. Same, Bhumandala. We are also in Bhumandala. In Jambadvip, we are in that same Dvipa. And in Harivamsha, Prahlad Maharaj constantly worships Narasimhadev by offering prayers. We can see Prahlad Maharaj showed what is the qualification to approach the Supreme Lord. When none of the demigods could pacify Narasimhadev when he was so angry, then Prahlad Maharaj pacified him. And Prahlad Maharaj made this very important point, which is very relevant to today's verse. He says, O most powerful, insurmountable time, who are kind to the fallen souls, I have been put into the association of demons as a result of my activity. So he is not really complaining about others. He is telling that he is fierce. He is telling, because of my karma, I am in this bad association. He mentions that, I am certainly not afraid of your ferocious mouth and tongue. No fear about ferocious mouth and tongue. Your eyes bright like the sun, or your frowning eyebrows. I do not fear your sharp pinching teeth, your garland of intestine. See how ghastly it is. And Prahlada is telling, even seeing the intestine around his own father's intestine around the neck of Narasimhadev. Think about that, please. How ghastly it must be. And still he's telling, look, I'm not fearful about that. Your mane soaked with blood. Your mane. The lion has a mane. The mane is soaked with blood. Your high wedge-like ears. It's sharp ears. Wedge-like ears. Nor do I hear your tumultuous roaring. If there's a bomb blast, certainly we will be fearful. This world is even more tumultuous than that. Still, it's telling nothing. Which makes elephants flee to distant places. This tumultuous sound is like, elephants are running away in fear. Your nails, which are meant to kill your enemies. He's telling, I'm not fearful of any of these things. Why I make this point? The next verse, he started speaking about his fears. Okay, in this verse, the verse 15, he speaks about his fearlessness. And in the next verse, Prahlad Maharaj is speaking about his fear. And we should also have that fear. And that's why I'm going to chant this verse. Trastosmiham krupana vasala dusahogra samsara chakra kadanat grasadam pranita bartha sagarmati ushatamate trimulam pridopavarga saranam khayase kadanu. He says, I have one fear. What is that fear? I am very much afraid of my condition of life within this material world. He's afraid of material association. And we think material association is not a problem. Material desires are not a problem. If the Lord purifies us, that is going to be a problem. This is exactly the consciousness. In the material world, we have diametrically opposite consciousness. We think, oh, how can we go in front of the Lord? Can I pray so sincerely for purification? When we tell the story, we become fearful going to the Lord, and the Lord is going to purify me, He is going to take things from my life. I am fearful. Here Prahlad Maharaj is telling, I am not at all fearful about the Lord, even this ghastly form of the Lord. Rather, I am fearful about material desires and material association. And he prays to the Lord, kindly I am eager for shelter at your lotus feet. Apavarga Sharanam. And he's asking, what is that? He's asking, please allow me to massage your feet. So this is a prayer of Lord, so Prahlad Maharaj unto the Lord. I want to massage your feet. So this is Prahlad Maharaj telling Narasimhadev, I'm not fearful of God, but I want to come and I want to massage your feet. And later he has to pray for the demigods, please calm down. Because all these demigods, they are in fear. The reason is, previously they were fearful about Hiranyakashipu. Now we have killed Hiranyakashipu. So they should at least get fearlessness. But now seeing you, oh my Lord, they are fearful. So please get pacified. So see, this is material existence. This is the condition of mixed devotees like the demigods. They know who is the Supreme Lord. So in presence of Hiranyakashipu, they were fearful. And then the Lord came and Lord killed Hiranyakashipu. Because of that, they were happy. But seeing the Lord strong, they became fearful. And later, when the demons attack, again they get into stress and anxiety. So Bhagavatam is teaching us again and again that if we mix ourselves with material desires, then there will be fear. And that's why Prahlad Maharaj is helping us to go to the next level. So we had to take the next step. We cannot go all the way, become pure devotees, but we need to identify our anarthas and work on it. Chanting is not good, work on our chanting. Reading is not good, work on our reading. And if material desires are coming and again, pray to Narasimhadev, please, I need help. So this verse I chant every night. At least chant, call the Supreme Lord at least one time with this prayer. And it is very nice, it's very helpful. Pray to Narasimhadev, please help me. Save me from these material desires. And then one can come to fearlessness. Indeed, Prahlad Maharaj, after two verses, he says, I am not at all fearful about material existence. I immediately come to you. So this is pure devotee, so they have bhava. On one side, they show their disqualification. In the other side, they show their fearlessness. Then they show what is their fear. Then again, they show their confidence. That's why the book is Waves of Devotion. We have a book, right, by Dhanadhar Maharaj. Waves of Devotion. So the mood, the bhava of the devotees are ever changing. It is dynamic. So that's why he is telling. Soham priyasya suhurda paradevataya leela katha nrisimha virinja geeta anjan tidrmi anugranan gunavipramukto durganite padayugale hamsa sangha. He says, I will chant the glories of the Lord which are glorified by Brahma himself, virinja geeta. And in that way, I will come to you very easily. Anjastitarmi. I will cross over the material existence, anjasa, very easily. So in that way, he shows his confidence in the parampara. Because he is referring to Brahmaji, who is the parampara acharya. So he is showing his confidence in the parampara and the teachings coming from the parampara. In that way, he says, look, I will chant in the footsteps of Lord Brahma, the acharya. In that way, I easily cross over the material existence. So that is possible, and that's why here it is mentioned that one can purify oneself completely, as it is mentioned in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Karmashyan Dvedidam Udgradhyam Tisantaha. This verse again quoted in Nectar Devotion to show that bhakti can uproot the ignorance. Because if you see this vicious cycle starting from Bija, Papa, Aprarabdha Karma, Prarabdha Karma, Kutam, then again back to Bijam, and the source of Bijam or the material desire is Avidya, ignorance. So he said, there this is quoted. What is this verse? Same verse is quoted. Karmashyan Gradhiti Utgradhyanti Santaha. That one can remove the ignorance from the core by the process of devotional service. And that's why we had come to the platform of chanting purely. Purely in the sadhana stage. That is understanding our relationship with Krishna, avoiding the offenses, and chanting in connection to Krishna. That is pure chanting in the sadhana stage. If one can come to that platform, one can make quick progress. And this prayer is to Narasimha Dev. He is the Lord for protection of bhakti, and also he falls in a very special category. It is mentioned in Padma Purana and it is quoted in Laku Bhagavatamrita. Three incarnations of the Lord are considered very special. Starting from Lord Narasimha Dev, Lord Ramachandra, and Krishna himself. He is the source. Rupa Goswami explains that Narasimha Dev is special because of his manifestation of power and opulence. It is unparalleled to other incarnations of the Lord. Like Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, they all showed their power and opulences. But Narasimha Dev is superior to them. He manifested more power. And he specifically came to help his devotees. And so, we can approach Narasimha Dev because we need help. And that's why this verse is very significant, that this prayer is very significant, and Srila Prabhupada mentions, I read this again, any devotee aspiring to be free of material desires should offer his respectful prayers to Narasimha Dev as Prahlad Maharaj did in this verse. And also I will read the same point as is mentioned by Lord Narasimha Dev himself. Moreover, among those countless devotees, Prahlad Maharaj stands out as an example of perfection. The Lord himself describes in this way. How is that? Those who follow your example will naturally become my pure devotees. Narasimha Dev is telling to Prahlad Maharaj, 10th chapter of Sankt Canto. You are the best example of my devotee, and others should follow in your footsteps. So here it is very clear. It is very, very clear. Everyone should follow in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj. So finally, before completing, I think we will chant this verse together. Okay, we will chant it together. Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya Namaste Jase Jase Abhiyadu Bhava Vajradha Vajradhamsa Kamsa Manchayan Renthaya Renthaya Tamo Grasa Grasa Om Swaha Abhayam Abhayam Amani Bhuhishta Om Shraum. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Narasimhadev, the source of all power. O my Lord, who possesses nails and teeth just like thunderbolts, kindly vanquish our demon-like desires for fruitive activities in this material world. Please appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance, so that by your mercy we may become fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world. So Prahlad Maharaj, as a pure devotee, he didn't ask for anything. He didn't ask for any benediction, any boon, but he asked, if there is any material desire in my heart, please remove that. So this is Prahlad Maharaj. Any questions or comments? Okay.
Just one quick question. You know, when we mentioned Vasudeva was very angry and everyone was fearful, because watching only Prahlad Maharaj could go, because they are there with us and we understand some material desires are there. Even almost fearful to go. Even Lakshmi Devi was fearful to go.
So the question is how Lakshmi Devi couldn't pacify Lord Narasimhadev. Because she is transcendental. She is the consort of the Lord. It is mentioned that even Lakshmi Devi has never seen this form of the Lord. Of course, she must have seen the Lord angry. But this particular form, she hasn't seen. Because the Lord's forms are always different. He can manifest any form as he wishes. So even Lakshmi Devi never saw this particular angry form. That is point number one. Point number two, the Lord appeared only for Prahlad Maharaj. And why the Lord was more merciful to Prahlad Maharaj than even Lakshmi Devi? That's why Prahlad Maharaj says, you kindly touch your hand on my head. That benediction even Lakshmi Devi didn't receive. So it is mentioned, Lakshmi Devi, she said, eternal consort of the Lord, she doesn't have to go through what Prahlad Maharaj has gone through. Correct? That is very special. Prahlad Maharaj had to go through so much of suffering. He didn't suffer, of course, but he had to go through so much of tribulations. But Lakshmi Devi never had to go through such troubles. So, he became the recipient of special mercy of Narasimhadev. So, that's very much it.
Two questions. From one is, how Prahlad is residing in Harivashram Sutala?
He can reside in. The devotees of the Lord can expand. They can be in multiple places. Not a problem. Yeah.
The second question is the process of going from fear to fearlessness, you know. Just if we had to go in front of Radha Vallabha and say, please remove our material desires, then there's some kind of fear there, because the mercy is unpredictable, you know, how the mercy will come. So practically it's a bit, how can we be fearless in approaching the Lord? How can we be bold to make that prayer?
The question is, how can we be fearless when we are approaching the Lord? Because if you want to ask the Lord to remove all the material desires, we can be fearful. Yes. So we have to pray according to our capacity with full sincerity. The anarthas that we are dealing with, we can request the Lord, please remove this anarthas and let me go to the next stage of devotional service at least. And we can see the Lord will be merciful. And our devotional service has to be sincere, not only prayer and the activities. Then the Lord has planned for all of us. Okay. Thank you very much. Tanta Srimad Bhagavatam Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Dasamade Bhagavan Ki Jai Bhagavara Ki Jai Andai Gaura Pramante Hari.